show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Ah, nuts.
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here's your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thanks for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I'm Craig Stepp, in for Chuck Tomasi, as we bring you another one of our special episodes. In August of 2007, as Chuck and I made our way down the entire state of California, we stopped in to visit longtime listener Will Shattuck, aka Will the Computer Guy, and he works for Paramount Farms in Lost Hills, California. Paramount Farms, located in the San Joaquin Valley, is the largest grower and producer of almonds and pistachios in the world. The management and Will, of course, were kind enough to give us a tour of the more than 1.3 million square foot facility during the busiest time, the harvest season. So join us and our own Will the Computer Guy as he takes us on a tour.
And now, another message from Will the Computer Guy.
This is Chuck and Craig, and we are at Paramount Farms with none other than Will the Computer Guy. How are you, Will?
I'm doing very well, thank you. I'm glad you all didn't get lost down here.
We did get lost, but we won't mention that on the show. We took the scenic route more than once. We saw cows, we saw horses, we saw road construction, we saw
pomegranates,
we saw farmers working 3 miles west of here. It was a beautiful sight. Thanks for the tour.
Yeah, the field hands were awesome, huh?
Yeah.
So what are you going to show us today?
So here at Paramount Farms, we process almonds and pistachios. And, you know, that may not seem technical, but in the middle of harvest, which is where we are now, we have everything is done by computer, of course. So otherwise you wouldn't be here.
Yeah. A lot of tech and nuts. The nuts and tech. That's it.
Keep the nuts jokes to a minimum, all right?
Okay. All right.
Oh, boy. Okay, so the reason I asked y'all to come out here is when we receive loads from the field, all the trailers have RFID tags on them. And so we've got that labeled with or connected to the trailer data, tear data, everything. And so I'll show you that when we get out there. But, you know, we also have all of our belts and motors and conveyance is all computer controlled by PLCs and through the network. And so I thought it would be kind of cool to show you at least on a manufacturing and ag side how IT fits. And we're here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week during harvest. I told you all that this is my 39th day in a row without a break, 12-hour shift, 7 days a week. So
you guys are nuts.
How long does that last?
Nuts, you're a bad man. It lasts roughly about 6 weeks. This year we started on August 20th. Normally we don't start until after the first weekend in September. Mm-hmm. Whatever, was that Memorial Day, Labor Day?
He's right, tired.
I never remember. It's I'm 37. I never have remembered.
We're together now.
Yeah. So we usually start that first Monday or so and then go until mid-October. So this year we started August 20th and we'll go until about the 5th or 11th of October this year.
Okay.
So it runs about 6 weeks. And pistachios, so y'all know, 1 year's a big year. So we'll have, you know, hundreds of millions of pounds. Mm-hmm. Well, we always have hundreds of millions of pounds. But every other year is an off year. So 1 year's big, 1 year's small. It's on like a gradually rising sine wave.
Okay. Is that like by design or is that just the way it works?
I think it's just the way the pistachios grow. I don't know. I'm not a farmer. Mm-hmm. I can't even keep a plant green in my bowl in my house. So
that's why they gave you the computers to work on.
That's why they gave me the computers to work on, yeah.
Now, we're standing in your office. Is there anything to show us here of significance?
Not of significance. Well, we are experimenting with RFID tags on our pallets. So this is a Zebra R1010XI203DPI. Golly, that sounds geeky.
It's about the size of a small mini tower PC.
Yeah, it's if you standing laying backwards on its backside, okay. Actually, and it's a little bit wider. But so we have to label pallets with RFID tags. This is mm-hmm. a test process so we can actually track where the pallet is through not only in our plant, but on a truck. In the receiving end plant, and just know it all the way where it goes through.
How is it done prior to RFID? Barcodes?
Yeah, barcodes.
Okay.
I'll show you some of that when we go out to the Harvest Scale House. It's all the production way of keeping track of the product is similar that we do with the sample tagging that we do out of the Harvest Scale House. So I'll show you that label printer is a label printer.
Yeah, we've done some work at our company. I'm familiar with electronics manufacturing, so this would be real interesting to see agricultural manufacturing.
Yeah.
We've done some work for Zebra. That's
well,
how I guess barcodes.
I'll show you this way. We really rely upon symbol barcode guns.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you guys have used these. These are the PDT. PDD 6846s, they're workhorses. They're no longer produced. But if anybody needs them, I got a person who has them. So, no, they actually warranty. We can get 1-year warranties on these deals.
Excellent.
So we've got 100 of these, maybe 120 now throughout the whole plant. I'm still trying to make sure we've got all of them.
Yeah.
You need to make sure you cut that part out.
Some RFID
tag on there. Hey, well, you know, asset management is important.
Yeah, and so we've got wireless covering the whole plant. I put up about 20 wireless access points myself about 3 years ago, and we just keep, as we grow, we have to expand wireless. And you'll see I've got some old Weiss black thin clients down there, mm-hmm. terminal server clients.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're starting to put some monitoring displays through the plant. And so rather than putting a full PC, we're putting a thin client with a Citrix session to our Citrix server.
Wonderful.
So that's it. And there's three of us that run this plant, two other plants, and support salespeople worldwide.
Got your work cut out for you.
Yeah, 300-400 people, and I was on the phone with a lady in Belgium this morning.
Say hi to Jorga.
There you go. Okay, let's go to the server room.
All right, let's go.
So on the way to the server room, this is our customer service area, and we actually are ship and not only nationwide, but worldwide.
Okay.
So we've got, you know, 9 or 12 agents that do all the customer service rep stuff. I mean, it's not big, but it's not small. And we support all their stuff. And we have an Oracle backend. So all of our stuff is on Oracle database, Oracle applications. So I don't know if y'all are familiar. I mean, you're familiar. But if used it, it's Java-based app.
Mm-hmm.
Opens in a web browser. And so Internet Explorer is my friend, unfortunately.
What?
Yeah, I know.
I'm out of here.
Anyway, okay, here we go. fingerprint locks on the door because we had people walking in.
People shouldn't have
so
a combination.
It is noisy, so you hear some background noise. Let me know if I need to get closer to the mic.
We like background noise. It's clean.
It is now. So the area we're standing in right now used to be an office. So it was a standard, 12 by 12 office. You can see on the wall, the paint stops. It goes from a tan to a white.
Right.
So this was an office. And we added these three racks here, which hold our HMI, human machine interface servers.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually had to expand. We added another 7-ton air conditioner on top.
I can feel it.
Yeah, it works really nicely.
Yeah.
And the old 5-ton is still serving the other side. So we've got 12 tons of air conditioning always running in this building.
I'm envious.
So we have, let's go around to the front of this rack.
You bet.
So we've got a total of about maybe 50 servers that are specific to MIS and the running of the company. Almost all are Dell. We started branching out into HP DL360s.
Okay.
And we have a couple of bigger HPs. And over here, you'll see that we've got some APRO blades. Now, this is a blade system that basically uses single U. They're actually narrower, so they wouldn't fit in a whole 1U size rack.
Oh, okay. Right, right.
But you can get 10 across in, what is that? 6 or 7 U's?
Yeah.
So we've got actually 20 of them. This is running Windows Server 2003 with its own domain separated from the main domain so that they have all of their HMI stuff all together so they're not going to, none of their objects or OUs are going to conflict with ours.
Okay.
So it keeps everything separate so everything's happy and nobody can blame each other. And it's really a nice system. It's working flawlessly, knock on wood. For all of it, but they're running that. They're running, I forget the company, Wonderware does the HMI application. Citrix servers, database servers, InSQL servers for collecting all the tags from the PLCs. And this is all it. This is all their, what they serve.
So there's two sets of these 10 blades each. You get 20 servers here. Looks beautiful. I mean, aesthetically, it's wonderful.
Yeah, it took us a good year to get everything all cleaned up. We have one vestige left of the not nice wiring, which you'll see in just a second. In the rack to the left, we have an HP BL blade chassis, mm-hmm. which has worked okay for us. I don't know if I could honestly recommend it because we've had issues with it.
Yeah.
And we just recently now have all of our blades green. One is off. It's not bad. It's just off. And that's connected to a brain fart.
Sand?
No, it's not a sand. It's just a disc array.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, golly. Y'all are making me nervous. No, I'm just kidding. And then a couple of more BL360s, which are the MOM servers.
And what's on the bottom? Is that all APC UPSs?
All UPSs, okay, not so APC.
It's a nice rack.
They're APC racks, that's what I guess.
Yeah, we got a couple of APCs and then a couple of...
Hey, Will, nice rack.
Stop looking there. My eyes are up here on my neck. The contractor who got the APRO blade system in prefers a different set of UPSs. UPS is a UPS for the main part.
Right.
And we're going to end up doing a major change, which means we have to rewire all our power. We're going to bring up some more servers. Right now, all of our servers are running off of... APC 3000, no battery packs. So we've got, the cool thing is when power goes out here, as it does frequently, we just have to wait 12 seconds and then the natural gas generator kicks in.
So you just have a 12 second coverage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they'll actually last about 4 or 5 minutes.
Okay.
So, which is not good, but we got a generator, so we're happy.
Yeah.
And then of course we've got the cabinet of the computers that had no place to go.
The tower PCs that take up more rack space than they're worth.
Yeah, these were, so a couple of them were development boxes that got turned into production boxes.
Oh, I hate those.
But this one here labeled Robot PC is one of the backup computers that used to interface with our AS400 systems, which are on the other side of this rack. So as we mosey on down, if you turn around...
Those are usually your most likely candidates to use in VMware.
That's our next step. We have a DL360 that we put Red Hat Enterprise Linux 3 on.
See, now you're talking.
You know, I'm the same way. But the VMware install, something's all screwed up. And it runs, but we have to rebuild it. So we're getting another box, and we're going to rebuild it. I'm going to rebuild it so actually I can maintain it now. We had another contractor rebuild it. He's fantastic. I'm not going to diss him. Mm-hmm. He's awesome. But I just want to be able to maintain it myself. Oh, I'm technically the senior IS technician.
Technically?
No, not by default. I've worked my way up to that.
Okay.
But we've had some atrophy, or what's that word when people disappear, they leave? Attrition. Attrition.
Abduction.
And
that worked too.
No, that's what happens out in the fields at night.
Yeah. You know, anyway. The
cows and the
farm
and so I've had to take over help desk manager duties as well and server administrator duties. Our server admin left 2 years ago. I absorbed his duties. My help desk manager, he had health issues, so I absorbed his duties. We have a director of IT who handles all the Oracle stuff, but I still do the daily help desk managing. So it's been fun. I've actually, you know, learned and grown. I mean, we were talking about project management software.
Yeah.
I found one that is working for me. It's called FreeMind. I'll show it to you guys after we get all done.
Okay. Oh, yeah, the mind manager.
The mind mapper. And it allows me to have active projects on one side and completed projects on another. Nice. And it's called FreeMind. It's really good. A Java app. Legitimately free. And it's nice. So we also bought a SAN.
Okay.
A 2.5 terabyte SAN. Which is running our main database for our SQL server. Mm-hmm. What is it? Windows 2000 server and SQL 2000. We got HBA cards in that. Our mail server also has the mail store moved over to the SAN, and then there's some backups that happen on the SAN. So it's been nice. I don't have to worry about disk space anymore.
For a while.
Yeah. TeleReach KVM so that we can actually have console access to all of them. And then here's the vestige of our server cleanup. It's still good, but it could be a lot better. It's just, we've got two racks here with plexiglass doors. On the right rack is where all of our patch cables come into, all our network connections. We patch through hole saw holes.
Hey, whatever works.
into our Cisco 4507. So redundant power supply. We've got microwave down to our King plant that shoots a 10 meg internet down to there.
Nice.
Juniper WAN acceleration so that we've got all of our sites. Are our main site, our Oracle site, is hosted at a data center down in Irvine.
Yep.
And so we were having connectivity issues. We evaluated WAN accelerators. Our parent company, Roll International, said, this is what we want to use. And so we said, fine. And then we have our 2800 series MPLS, where we go out into an MPLS cloud with all of our companies, which sometimes is fun. Most of the time is no hassle. So
right.
We don't have
any
worries.
It's very easy.
And then the very bottom there is a, golly, it just got really cold in here. The 710 just kicked on. That's satellite connection to another, to a farming, which is our sister company, that goes up to a hill, which shoots their internet out to all the different, their offices that are remote. There's all of the farming offices are so remote that you can't even get other, anything other than telephone out to them.
I was going to say, you are out in the middle of nowhere. This had to be, all the internet is wireless.
Yeah, for well, we have two T1s coming in from SBC.
Okay.
So we got a 3 meg pipe coming in, and then that's it. We shoot network out to everywhere else. We've got phone and network over a T1 over microwave down to our hulling and shelling company for almonds. So that was fun. We're using a new partner T1 switch down there for that with the blades that go in.
Good thing you don't grow corn here, because you'd have popcorn. The microwave lines.
You're a very bad man. Hey, as I told Chuck earlier, yes, Craig is this way in real life. It's not just on the podcast. Intergen fire suppression. So you'll look up above you, we have the dispersion nozzle. And if you look back where we came in, you'll see the 6 or 8 jugs that we got.
Jugs of?
Intergen.
Oh.
So it's non-flammable, of course. And it's not just pure carbon dioxide, it's a mix. So if it did end up the system dumping, like it saw something, you can still breathe, but you want to get out as fast as you can.
Okay.
But I think that was the downside of Halon too, wasn't it? That
I never had any experience with Halon.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. It kind of suppresses the fire by taking the oxygen out.
Yeah,
this doesn't do exactly that from what I understand. You could be in here for a minute and still breathe. And when we were testing the tanks, they said sniff it, and so I sniffed it, and it just was like air, no ill effects or anything. So it's awesome. But yeah, we have that panel here, nothing ever happens, but they say if both buzzers go off, run.
Okay, yeah, good idea in a fire.
And then finally back here, we have our two
museum?
AS400s. Yeah, basically. So this is the funny part of this whole thing. We've got a 720 AS400, and I forget what model the smaller one is. The smaller console connection is on a Windows 95 computer.
Yeah.
The bigger console connection is on a 98 computer. And we don't dare mess them up because we don't know how to get the console connection back up. I've got a contractor who can, but why, if it's not broken, why fix it?
Yeah.
So.
Sounds like our AS400 connections.
Yeah, exactly. And actually, our contractor said there's now a rack mount AS400. So nice. I'm going to look into the price on that, because we can consolidate both of these into one, I think you said 4U AS400.
So are these still in use?
They're not used. This the larger one, the 720, was our production box for out in the plant and financials. The smaller one used to be financials. It was moved over to the bigger one. And this one just handles another sister company's data. It's they grow the growing part of the company, the farming.
Because the thing that we're in the same situation, ours was used for a lot of the financials as we consolidated onto JD Edwards.
That's
we find
we
ourselves
use.
With just old legacy data. We're actually looking at taking a service, like a rack space thing, and say, you take it. VM our AS400 for us. We don't need the hardware maintenance anymore. We don't need the server room anymore. You guys can have it. You can take care of the backups. You take care of everything.
Are they actively using it for financial data now, or is it just archival?
Right now, it's consolidated financials between all of our other systems, and we're moving that to JD Edwards. So it's going to be legacy stuff for the next year.
What you might want to think about doing, if it's just a regular database structure, you can export that into like a SQL database on Microsoft Server or whatever you're going to use as your database backend. We're actually going to try and put it into Oracle. So that way it's all there. We can actually turn the boxes off and move them out to storage. And then when we need them ever, bring them back in. And then finally, our phone carriers.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've seen these before.
Yeah, we actually added the third, the C carrier, when we expanded. We'll walk through the new building. I actually had to light up 120 ports. So it was a $15,000 project just to add 120 lines.
Whoa.
And we've got our Audix voicemail system on a Pentium 1, 75 megahertz. I couldn't believe that when I saw it. It's running SCO Unix.
Oh, boy.
The original SCO, not...
like the 3.2
not the SUHET. Well, no, I better watch what I say. Not the current SCO. The original SCO Unix. Unixware.
That's actually
yeah, so... And then, of course, the...
Patch panel.
The phone patch. Punch down panel, 66 bucks.
Yep.
That's the server room.
Lovely.
So, one addition we did do is you have... you go from your servers, you're walking your wires through other cable management of some sort.
Yes.
Ours was nasty.
Yes.
And so we ended up putting 48 port patch panels up at the top and running that. You can see it coming up out of the top over to our patch panel rack. Mm-hmm. And we just patch up into that and then patch from there into the Cisco 4507.
We're looking at doing something very similar because we're about to move three data centers into one. And in addition to the patch panel, we're going to have a wire management unit and a switch. So these will be driven out of a switch gigabit back to the core.
That would be nice, except as you can see, we have no extra space.
Right. We're looking at the same thing. So where are we going to get the extra space?
Yeah. So this was our alternative rather than putting a switch. And plus, if we're going to put a managed switch, they're about $3,500.
Well, otherwise, you get this cable tray above here that's all patch cords, and you can't pull anything out of those.
Look above the phone cabinets, and you see coming in from the offices is exactly what. Our most recent addition is a Pelco security system using the Endura software. So we've got about 38 cameras throughout the plant that we just added. Some home run back to an Ethernet module in a switch room. Others are run through a twisted pair through our phone blocks. So, and it all home runs back into here. And we store full motion for about 7 days. And then it goes to, 5 frames a second for a month or two. And then it goes to 2 frames a second to tape.
Can we compress that down for an iPod?
Don't get me in trouble, Craig. I like my job. So that's it.
All right.
So let's head on out to harvest. We're actually harvesting, so you'll see some loads being processed.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll tell you about the RFID tags and all that process.
Cool.
Right on.
Where have you taken us, Will?
So we're in the shipping office right now, and I wanted to show you, we have an external monitor for our shipping office, so they can see trucks on the dock, trucks at the scale house, the loading docks, so they can actually see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
You can see the video quality is full motion.
Yes.
And it's Pelco cameras going through the Endura system, and it's awesome. I mean, you don't have any problems. The recording is full motion playback as well. An hour of exported video is about 600 megs at the Pelco encoding. Format. I don't know what codec they're using, but it's awesome. And we've got PTZs, pan tilt zooms, so we can move them around if needed. But this is where they found they like them, and it's a nice clear picture.
What is that, about a 19-20 inch display? Four cameras being displayed on there, full motion color.
Yeah, I think it's 19. Yeah,
that's beautiful.
Can you zoom into one or the other?
Yeah, we could. We actually have a web page that we built that interfaces through the Pelco API, and I didn't get to write it. I wish. I got to tell you, y'all didn't know I was a school teacher for 6.5 years.
Never knew that.
I was a music teacher. So I tell people I'm a teacher by schooling, a computer technician by learning, and a programmer by yearning, because I really want to program.
Yeah.
But so, I mean, as you see, it's a very good display.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought you'd all get a kick out of that.
Excellent.
And as I told you earlier, yes, we still use dot matrix. We have an Epson FX 980 impact printer, because that's what they call them now.
Oh, it's not a dot matrix?
Epson's website says impact.
Oh, so. Impact to me used to mean the old letter quality ones with the daisy wheel.
I have one of those. That was my first.
Like we were talking about a band printer.
But you know, for multi-part forms, you need 2 or 3 carbonless forms. Yep. These are the only thing that'll do the job.
I actually did a research project to maybe about a month worth of time, an hour here, hour there, to do 5-part carbon copy laser print forms. It's out there. But we need different colors, and you'd have to make sure that all 4 colors come out at the same time. If you mess up a print, then you got to reprint using wasting 4 papers.
Yeah.
So it wasn't worth it. Okay, let's go out to harvest now.
All right.
As you see, it's a utility room.
It's much quieter.
But okay, now the wiring. This is, I don't know if this is typical in your experience.
Well,
but it's pretty
out
good.
Of order. Yeah.
I mean, we didn't know how long we needed to get, and so we did it.
Right.
And up more Cisco switches, and that's my pride and joy right there. Look how clean that board is.
Oh, it's beautiful.
So
nice and harnessed up.
I've done that plenty.
And this I if anybody messes this up, I'm going to kill him. And this is our gate control right here.
I see rogue walnuts.
Yeah, I don't know how they get here. Well, here's the best part. I left the phone in here.
Oh, where's he using the phone to crack the walnuts?
Yeah, wow. Take the handset. Will, where are we?
This is the hand sorting. We're just outside the hand sorting office.
Oh, hang on. I dropped my badge.
Yeah. We're not hand sorting office. Hand sorting area where they actually hand sort the pistachios before they go to be roasted.
And what have you given me to wear?
Oh, yeah. We got to do all that stuff too, huh? We've instituted, well, you know, in everything that's food, you have good manufacturing practices, GMPs.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things we've done to help keep safety, people safe and keep clean and be standard is... we have smocks. They're white, and we've got our labels on them. They also help identify Paramount people. You can almost instantly see who's not a Paramount person. So
must be me, because I've got it on backwards.
Yeah. And then of course, you got to wear hairnets. So we don't have to do the hairnets yet, but I figured we get the smocks now before we hit on it. Hey, watch out, Craig. Somebody needs to get by.
Oh, excuse me.
It's okay. So anyway, that's where we're at. And if you look through here, you'll see the hand sorting tables.
Now what? Hand sorting?
There's millions of pistachios
coming in.
They're looking for specific things. They're looking for twigs. They're looking for really badly deformed nuts and stuff like that. Yeah. It's basically the big stuff that you can't see by... it's obvious stuff. We have color sorters that the nuts go through too. And it will also sort based on the way the nut looks. And size? I'm not sure about size. I think it does size as well. I don't have much experience with that. I just know that every once in a while I have to go replace the power supply in the 46 that powers the thing. So, ATX power supply.
Are all the pistachios for human consumption like out of the bag, or do some of them go into cattle feed? Do some of them compress into oil?
Yeah, we do have oil stock. I don't know if the shells actually go out to cattle feed. The almond hulls and shells do down at the almond huller plant.
Mm-hmm.
They do sell the hulls and shells for cattle feed, yeah.
I had heard almond shells also make good coffin material. That
coffin?
Coffins, like the kind you get buried in. They would use that as like a wood substitute.
I have no idea. Is that the same myth that horses turn into glue? Because I have no idea.
We better call Adam on that one.
So here, walk this way real quick. I'll show you... Again, it's noisy. Yeah, put your hairnet on. Let me see if I got...
Oh, these are lovely.
Yeah, they're pretty, aren't they?
My hair's a little thinning. But does that count?
No, you still need it on. The only reason I have hair on my head right now is because I haven't had a haircut in 2 months. Normally, it's short. Here, wait, hold on. Okay, Craig, get ready to take your picture. Are you ready? Okay, everybody. Craig's taking the picture. Now you can see it on the Flickr site. Awesome. So as we walk into the hand sorting, you'll hear the noise level increase.
Oh, yeah.
So
what do we have in here? I see about 8 conveyor belts, about 4 feet wide.
Right. At the end of each conveyor, we've got hoppers up above where the pistachios come into.
Uh-huh.
There's vibrating machines underneath to actually put the nuts down through the hopper.
And now, then, these conveyors are two-tiered.
Yes, because you can have two levels of people. You'll have, like, a first and a second look.
This reminds me of Lucy and Ethel in the candy shop.
Yeah, exactly. We're in an area that I'm not too familiar with, but I've walked through here enough. I've been here 5 years. I've gathered. And you'll see in the bins that they've got one bin for sticks and then one bin for pistachios. And what they're looking for are the pistachios that are not all white. This one has yellow stains on it. The shell is not 100% all the way closed. This is one that's really deformed looking.
Ew.
Yeah. The brown
like
part on it is the hull adhering to the shell.
It looks like an inverted clam.
Yeah, it's really nasty. So here's one that almost works, except the brown part on the outside that's chipping, if you want to take a picture, you can show it. It's the hull.
The hull
wasn't completely taken off.
Now, are these still edible?
Some of them are, but I wouldn't. These all get tossed.
That's that ugly one.
Yeah, no. These all get tossed.
Okay.
I think.
And at the end of the conveyor belt, there's this shaking bin.
It's a shaker that then the nuts come off the conveyor into the shaker. The shaker slowly pushes them down into another conveyor that gets into another hopper where bins are filled. We'll go to that next.
Okay.
And then they get roasted from there.
Excellent.
Oh, to our right, you'll see our...
here's some PCs.
Yeah, here's the computer. So we ought to test the moisture. The moisture of the nuts have to be at a certain level before they're roasted.
Okay.
And when they're stored in the silos, they also have to be a certain moisture. But we'll get to that when we get out to the harvest area.
So these nuts on the conveyor in the sorting, are they colored or not? I mean, are they roasted or not?
No, nothing's roasted yet.
But they're open prior to roasting.
They naturally open.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought they opened during the roasting.
I was going to do that when we got out to the harvest area.
Way ahead. Okay.
Yeah, that's okay. But we have quality control here. We have an SBC system. It's a visual basic front end that stores data in the SQL server down in the server room.
Uh-huh.
So it tracks various points, how stained the nuts are, light stain, dark stain, adhering hole, which was the one that has, it's not completely white, you've got some of the hole on it. Loose meats, meaning that the inside nut has fallen out of the shell. Shells, split shells, non-splits are shells that are closed, that didn't naturally open. Because the nuts, when the pistachio is ripe, it will be big enough that it will crack the shell in the hole. As we'll see, as you saw when you pulled a nut off the tree on the way here.
Yeah.
So then we also have down into our Oracle server, we are running TerraTerm as our telnet interface.
Oh, yes.
Down to our Oracle servers, and it's just a barcode or a text interface to the API. It's running ClearOrbit is the API that then connects to the ClearOrbit API.
Much better Telnet client than the Microsoft one.
Yeah, you can't scroll back very well on that one. And then, you know, lots of HP printers and lead stations all over the place. So let's go out to the roaster. Whoa, excuse me. Let's go this way. So again, the noise level increases yet again. So all the nuts come out of the hand sorting room, go up into the cup conveyor, and dump into this huge hopper.
It's huge.
It's about
20, 25 feet high. The hopper is up there with a chute that comes down.
That's split into the two different bins, so they can always have a bin filling.
Well, you're moving another one.
Yep.
Very nice. Okay.
So the bins are lined in plastic, and then they get put on a forklift, put into another hopper that gets dumped into either the roaster, or if they're already roasted and they're just sitting in a bin, then they get put into a hopper that goes into the packaging area. So if
I wish we could somehow share the smell in here with the listener.
Well, wait until you get to where they're actually roasting.
We have to be careful there. Always
make eye contact with forklifts. Again, more quality control, SPC and moisture meters around. They're constantly taking moisture readings. So they'll actually soak the nuts to get, I forget what they're looking for. Again, this is not my area, but I've gleaned a lot. And then they'll get moisture readings to see how roasted or unroasted a nut is.
Okay, so this is after they're roasting them. They've got a bunch of pistachios in a pitcher full of water, I would assume.
Yeah, it's water.
And then a cup. Yeah, it looks like they're making some crazy kind of tea.
Yeah, I think they're checking for like an acidity or aflatoxin, or I don't know exactly what they're testing for.
Then there's this meter that looks like a Geiger counter of some type. She sticks it in the cup of water.
Oh, it looks like it may be salinity.
Okay.
Again,
this is
all new to me.
Great tour.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I'm a computer guy. Will the computer guy remember? The guy has nothing better to do. Okay, so now we're here at the roasters. The sorted nuts get put up into a bin. If you guys can hear that, the nuts pouring. They get poured into another conveyor. Cups take it up to another hopper, which goes through a brine wash. Yeah. So the salt on a pistachio has actually been soaking in a brine. Then it goes into the roasters, which are basically big augers. Let's get over here out of the way of the forklift. Craig. That go into big augers that slowly move and roast. So by the time it goes from the front to the end, what is that, 30 feet?
Yeah.
It's a roasted nut that then gets onto a conveyor and goes over to where they package. So the nuts you have in the bag, a sealed bag, are as fresh as when they were just bagged. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So when you see the net bags, those have been in open air, and then you've got, which is still good, but if you want the freshest nut, as close to roasted as you can get, find a sealed bag in pistachios.
Gotcha.
So here's where they come out. We're walking a little bit. As we walk by, you'll see we've got a PLC controller. So they've got the PLCs with a display that shows you how high the burner is, the temperatures, how fast it's running. You'll see that it's running at 234 degrees Fahrenheit right now.
Why do I see burner 458?
Well, maybe that's the external temperature. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm the computer guy, not the PLC guy.
No.
So it may be actually roasting. I don't know what... I know that when they dry, they dry at a lower temperature than that they roast.
Okay.
So, and you know, they got whether the flame's on or off. Yeah, it's actually running 473 degrees.
And right behind us are the roasters.
Yeah, here's... And here's the nuts actually coming out.
They're coming out fast.
Yeah, you'll see, if you look up, you'll see that it's just a big auger.
This roaster drum is what, 8 feet across?
Yeah.
9 feet across? And it's rotating very slowly, maybe one revolution a minute.
Maybe, yeah.
Rough guess. And you said it's like a big auger. You can see there's a window in here, and here comes some more nuts. And look, it's inside, it's a big corkscrew, so they're continuously flowing out the bottom onto this conveyor that's going up two stories.
So it's got a little mini hopper here that now you'll see that there's no nuts coming out.
Yeah.
The top of the spout out of the auger is now at about 270 degrees as we're looking at it.
Yeah.
And it's angling down 180, and in just a little bit, you'll hear all the nuts coming out.
Are they hot?
They're warm, yeah. I'm trying to get a couple. Oh wait, no, I can't get a couple. Here we go. It's coming. Three.
Jumps out at the
two, one.
And we got fresh nuts, fresh warm pistachios right out of the oven.
Oh, that's delicious.
Now you're not supposed to do this.
No. Did you fire?
Yeah.
We didn't.
Not too bad, but anyway, you can cut that part out. Have you ever noticed that whenever anybody says cut it out, it's always left in?
Yep.
Okay, we got to go to our left because we're not allowed to walk through that area. And you'll see some huge white bags.
They look like giant gift bags. What are these? They're 8 feet high.
They're pistachios. Here, let's go over here to our right. They're pistachios getting ready for mass export to somewhere.
Okay.
So they're either going to be exported to a local company or actually overseas.
Now, right behind us is what? It looks like a giant scale.
Yeah, it's a platform scale, but I don't see a readout on it. Ah, the readout's gone. But they've got scales all over the place because each bin will hold about 2,500 pounds of nuts. And they've got to, you know, they don't want to overfill. Plus, each of the batches have to process a certain amount of pounds in a certain amount of period of time. So I'll show you there's two machines that I like to watch. The first one is the box machine, which is bulk pistachios. So the nuts come up the conveyor and they go over into a hopper.
Yeah.
So this is the roasters, roaster one, roaster two. They'll drop the nuts and then the forklifts will come and pick up the bin and dump it into a bin hopper up at the bin dumper up at the top. That dumps it into another hopper, which then they've got a volume of nuts. I forget, I think it's 25 pounds of nuts in a box. And here's kernels. Looks like they're doing kernels.
How did they get them out of the shell?
We actually have a machine that does that. That's over in the other building. I'll show you that in a sec.
Now, it seems that there's a lot of lifting and dumping and conveyors and lifting and dumping and conveyors.
Yes. Actually, there's a lot of more of forklifts and dumping than conveyors right now. It's just the way it is. I've never been anywhere else, so I don't know if they do it different anywhere else.
Somebody must have figured that's the most efficient way to get stuff from one place to the other.
Yeah, our new pistachio processing building is almost all conveyors. This is, I guess, old tech. And then, let's see, tech-wise on this side, we've got the PLCs and all of the machines, looking out for forklifts.
Yes.
The PLCs and all of the machines are on the network. And we've got programmers that program the PLCs so that the bags close at a certain time. You know, they pinch off the tops, heat seal it, rip, so they know exactly how much. They also have metal detectors so that as the nuts go, they go over a metal detector so that they make sure there's no metal in them. Then there's also a reject. If it's not the right weight, it'll slap it off and put it into a bin. So that's the hand sorting on the roasting side. They've also got what's called a pin picker, which is a big roaster with tines inside. We can't go in there. You wouldn't be able to hear anything. And the nuts that are open get picked up by the tines and then are scraped off and then are brought over to the hand sorting area.
Excellent. So where are we headed next?
Next, we will actually go out to harvest finally.
Yeah. All right. We're walking towards another. We come across this big box of.
Yeah, it's basically dust and reject shells. You'll see almost all the shells are blanks or empty. As we go, you've got big vacuums along the line.
Uh-huh.
There's a bag right there that collects all the dust, so that there really should be a lot more dust in here if there was no collection. And so, I mean, it's really bad when it's bad. When we had our almond huller built. I would go in, and within a minute, I'm sneezing, and you're itching because of all the dust. No. So this is all the collection of dust. It's also a general trash bin.
Yeah, and as these nuts move along, little chips of shell must come off.
Yes.
They've got to be collected somewhere, so we've got these giant, what look like giant shop vacs.
Yeah, they're exactly what they are.
And they collect the dust and dump it into this bin. If anybody knows anything about like grain production, wheat and flour and all that kind of stuff, dust can be very explosive.
Yes.
So it's very important that we limit the amount of dust in here. We wouldn't want to hear about Paramount Farms going up in a big explosion.
No, that would be bad. I like my job too much. Okay, so let's walk around. This is called the Laudenberg machine. It actually takes film of bags. They thread it in a certain way, and then it actually seals the bag, and the nuts go in. So as we walk around...
Oh, neat.
You've got, another bin hopper that they dump the nuts into. Go ahead and go right. And it comes out. This is also sometimes, if you've seen the almond accents, like the honey roasted, the nuts will sometimes clump together. And so this shakes them loose from each other so that when they're packaged, they actually look good. So it comes down out of the hopper, goes back up into another cup feeder. So there's always another hopper on top with nuts to feed the bagging machine.
Okay. Now it's not running at the moment.
It looks like they're either fixing something or changing the tape.
Okay.
But the finished bag is a bag with a Ziploc seal on the top, you know, the resealable zipper pack that's very common nowadays. And then you've got the rip-off, tear-off part that you would open the bag.
Yeah.
And basically, when it seals the first bag, it seals the next bag's bottom. And then through the hopper over there, it drops down in the middle, and then it seals across the top. So now you've closed the bag, it heat seals it, and then it drops. Like that.
He drops it on the floor.
And then it comes out on this conveyor, goes up around the corner, goes to the metal detector and the weight detector. There's an arm that will push it off, and then it gets tipped up straight. This is the amazing part. Oh, before
I
we go over there,
this is a new addition.
It's a 23-inch Dell LCD monitor.
Right next to the bagging machine. What is this here for?
This is actually for a project that we're starting to implement. Another department is implementing to give statistics about how well lines are running, mm-hmm. so that the operators can get immediate feedback if they need to slow down, speed up, or whatever else they need to do their machine.
Yeah.
Up here in the white, the tan, gray. I have 39 days is way
metal
too
box.
Long. And the gray metal box, I've got a Weiss thin terminal client that connects via a wired network to our LAN. And connects to a published Citrix application called Liveline that I did, which is basically just an Oracle web page. And it loads up and it gives them their statistics.
And that's what's driving the big display.
Yeah, you'll see the Cat5 coming out.
Yep.
And let's see what's on there right now.
Bugs Bunny.
Oh, it's I got to log in. I typed the password wrong too many times.
39 days.
Yeah. So then as we go down the Laudenberg, you'll see that there's an actual part where it tips the bag straight up.
Oh, yeah.
So that way, when the boxers, they grab two or four of the bags at once. We do hand boxing. Take the bags into the box, and then it gets around, goes to a sealer, and then there's a person at the end loading them onto a pallet.
Why is pistachio pudding green?
Why?
Because the nut's green. The kernel's green.
Inside the kernel, the meat is green?
Yeah, when we get out to the harvest area, I'll pull an unhulled pistachio out, and I'll show you the process. I'll talk through the process. Craig will take a picture so you guys see what happens.
Okay.
So let's go.
And there you have it. That's part one of our two-part special with Will Shattuck, a.k.a. Will the Computer Guy, at Paramount Farms in California. I want to thank Will and the management of Paramount Farms for allowing us to have the tour. And if you are enjoying the tour, be sure to call our listener line at 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428. Or you can email Chuck and I at technorama@chuckchat.com. So be sure to visit the website for our continuing blog. Thanks to Mad Marv and myself and others that we're posting all kinds of news, all kinds of stuff. So go check it out at our website. Anyway, this show is a member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more about Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com. And if you're getting this show by clicking a link on the website, consider subscribing to get the show automatically delivered to you for free. Drop either of us an email at the aforementioned technorama@chuckchat.com if you would like more information on that. Tell a friend about Technorama, and remember, a binary high five. 101.